The Bible says, and Abraham faced the fact that his body was dead and that Sarah's womb was also dead. He faced the fact, but not weakening in faith. Why? Because the fact intimidates. Write that down.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
When you receive the outpouring of God, you will never be what? The same. Based on the scriptures, we understood from our previous lesson, there are two forms of outpouring that we can find in scripture. There is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and there's the outpouring of blessings on the tither. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, he says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Everybody say, I'll pour out. God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And he begins to explain all flesh. He says, your sons and your daughters, the old men, the slaves, even in your household, he says, upon the handmaiden, every single individual, God says, I will cause an outpouring, and I'll pour my spirit on every human. Amen. Notice that in the book of Acts chapter 2, that promise came to pass. On the day of Pentecost, the scripture says, God Almighty poured out his spirit the first time on 120 people who were gathered in the upper room. Secondly, in the book of Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, he says, bring to me the whole tithe. Prove me now and see if I will not cause another outpouring. So this outpouring is not on all flesh. It is on those who bring the whole tithe. He says, when that outpouring takes place, many things will begin to happen. Amen. We spend most of our time last week talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We said that whenever we receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it manifests itself in several things. Number one, it brings power. Number two, it brings people around. Souls are won to him. Number three, he gives us a spirit of joy instead of what? Heaviness. That is peace. He gives us protection, and he gives us also his praise. Amen. We understood that many believers in Christ today are frustrated whenever something needs to be manifested. And the reason is we always think that manifestations are instantaneous. We understood from the lesson last week that not all spiritual manifestations are instantaneous. We understood that there is what we call the instantaneous manifestation, but there is also what we call incremental, progressive. It takes time, but God brings it to pass. Amen. In Luke 17, you read the story of those 10 lepers who go to Jesus, and it says, if you can, please heal us. Do something about our situation. In the book of Matthew chapter 8, when the first leper approaches Jesus, the Bible says he touches him and he proclaims, be clean. He was healed immediately. It was instant. But the same Jesus this time told them, go and show yourself to the priest. And while they are on their way, everybody say on their way. So that was not instant. That was incremental. John chapter 9, Jesus anoints the eyes of a man and says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. He goes, he washes, and then the Bible says he comes back what? Healed. I want you to understand that there are times when he heals instantly, but there are manifestations that are incremental. That misunderstanding causes many believers to give up because they think everything has to be now. You must understand that some things take place, what? Instantly. But other things take place, how? In an incremental order. Amen. Then we understood also that there is illumination manifestation, which is what I meant by speak only one word. Everybody turn your Bibles because I need you to check this out in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, Matthew chapter 8. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, whilst we are opening your Bible to Matthew chapter 8, let me tell you what's in 1 Samuel chapter 1. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, the scripture teaches us that Hannah had gone to a place of worship. She's in prayer and she's praying, and the priest Eli comes around. And when Eli gets to the place, he tells her, "Woman, are you drunk?" She says, "No, I am not drunk. Rather, I am pouring out my heart before the Lord." And she tells Eli whatever she's dealing with. And the scripture says, when Eli hear these words, she says, "Go and may the Lord do it for you." As soon as Eli speaks that word, Hannah does not continue to pray. The scripture says she gets up believing that that one word is about to change something in his life. And sometimes all you need is what?
One word.
One word. Not all manifestations are instantaneous, but sometimes receiving that one word matters. The problem is when people are speaking God's word, you are there measuring other things. But that one word can reconfigure everything in your life. Amen. Are you in Matthew chapter 8? In Matthew chapter 8, I wanted to look at two stories. All right, please, if you have your Bibles, let's just open there and look at it. Matthew chapter 8. Let me start from verse 1. When he came from the mountainside, large crowds followed him, talking about Jesus. A man with leprosy came, knelt before him, and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Verse 3. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, everybody say immediately. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. So this manifestation is instantaneous. Are you with me? Now let's continue. Look at verse 4. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift." Remember, for other people, he did not start with instantaneous. He told them, "You rather go show yourself to there, and then the thing will happen." The problem is we are always looking for instant stuff. There are times God does things instantly. Look at the next verse, verse 5. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I go and heal him." The centurion replied. Everybody read with me from the screen, shall we? The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word." Everybody say that, "but just what?"
Say the word.
Now, another version, I'm reading the old version of NIV. He says, "but just say a word, and it will come to pass." And sometimes all you need is, and Jesus spoke a word. Today, in the midst of this message, you may hear a word. And that word will bring an illumination. It drops something. The scripture says, Mary hears a word from the angel. And she said, "be it." It was one word, but everything began to change. So never give up on a manifestation because it is not instantaneous. God does not always do things instantaneously. Amen and amen. Miracles are not always instantaneous. Sometimes he works it in an incremental order. And before you see it, you look back and realize, even though he may have used natural things, truly, no human being can do that except him. And it is still a miracle. Are you here with me today? All right. So all of this is last week. So today we're going to begin from this. That saying spiritual manifestations can be instantaneous, incremental, or illumination, we have to respect the spiritual process that brings the manifestation into reality. You have to do what? Respect the spiritual process. Everybody say process. If it is not just instantaneous, but it is incremental, and it could be just one word stirring up in you and bring things to pass, there is a process. The problem is that most believers drop it when they see a process, because we live in a microwave world and we want to microwave God. No, can't do that with him. Sometimes God shows up instantaneously. Sometimes he needs you to be around. How many of you remember yesterday during the In His Presence program and when we were getting to the tail end of it? How many of you remember what happened at the tail end of it? Right? When we cut the worship so that the mass choir was singing, I was just angry. I said, can't you see that we are in it? Let's stop following programs. When God is in the move, stay in the move. Because honestly, there was something downloaded in my spirit for next year. Draw the program, but when you see that God is taking over, let him. That's it. I don't believe in not planning. That's wrong. You plan, but when he steps in, you put the plan somewhere and let him do what he's got to do. Amen. There is a process. What I'm trying to illustrate to you is that from the beginning when the choir began to sing, some of us were not feeling it, right? It was as if we were playing. But as the time went on, as things, one thing added to another, when you follow a process, you get to a place where you crescendo. You come to the apogee, the top part. But you don't just get up and you are up. It doesn't happen. How do you give birth to a child today and the child has four teeth? And he's smiling at you and he's eating fufu and banku. How many of you will be happy with that? You won't like it. That child needs to take milk, take their time, grow, move through stages, and come to that place. Are you understanding me? So because manifestations are not always instantaneous, but it can be incremental, and in an illumination matter, you must respect spiritual process. Yes. I say you must what? Respect spiritual process. Because that will, and that is what I want to focus on today. Amen. I want to focus on that. Many believers are sincere in their expectations, but they don't know how to receive because they always think it is instantaneous. It's not instantaneous. Tell with me in your Bibles, we're going to look at how to receive it, how to follow that process. Romans chapter 4. We're going to be looking at Abraham, and I want you to learn this lesson. Please write it down because you will need this for the rest of your life. Sometimes Satan talks you out of issues. Don't let the devil talk you out of your blessing. Did you hear what I said? Don't let the devil what? Talk you out. Because he can talk you out of what God wants to bring to pass in your life. I read the book of Romans. Look at the 16th verse. Romans chapter 4. Therefore, the promise comes by faith. How does the promise come? By faith. So that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, in other words, not only to the Jews, but also to those who have faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, and this is in regards to Abraham. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. So he became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, everybody say, without weakening. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief, regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Underline that phrase. Because sometimes when life issues challenges us, we don't glorify God. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded, please underline that statement as well, that God had power to do what he had promised. That this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for you and me. He said, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. Now, there are three principles I want you to see in this text, and then we will figure out how we will work those principles into place. In Romans 4, verse 16 to 24, we see, first of all, there is the existence of negative facts. There is the existence of what? Negative facts. Abraham, the scripture says in verse 19, if you look at it, he says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. What I'm showing you is not to deny the facts. What did the scripture say? He faced the, come on, talk to me. He faced the, he faked the fact. The fact was his body was dead. The fact was that he's old. The fact is that medically he cannot produce. That was the fact. But you, there is a way to face it. And I want to show you how to what? Face the fact. Many people who claim they walk in faith, they ignore the facts. No, you can't do that. You face it. If you are going to write an exam and you fail, you face the fact that you failed. But then you believe God that the next time you rewrite it, you will get better. Don't say, Satan, make me fail. No, you failed. But you can also pass. The second principle we find here is that there is the establishment of new facts. Not only did he face the facts, the negative facts, but he also established new facts. I will explain them to you. Verse 20 says, he was strengthened in faith. Something was telling him that it is not going to work out. But the scripture says, Abraham looked at it and said, nah, I can make it. I can do it. So there are negative facts, but you have to establish new facts. Everybody say that with me. There are negative facts, but I have to establish a new fact. Then the final thing, the final principle we see here is that he made efforts to reach a level called the level of full persuasion. The Bible says he became fully persuaded. Fully persuaded, not halfway. Fully persuaded. Now, I know some of you are wondering, Pastor, we don't understand. I'll help you. I'll put it all together for you. If you went to the doctor, they took an x-ray or whatever test they did, and the conclusion was that you have a condition, it's a fact. The idea that you come and say it is not there does not mean it is not there. It is there. It is a fact, and you must face that fact. How do I face that fact? I'll come to it. You attack that fact with faith. Whilst you are doing that, you move to the next point by establishing new facts. How? By renewing your mind. Because we have been trained and raised to believe facts. Hey, let's just be honest. Don't you all believe facts? Don't you all believe facts? Even when they are manipulated, we believe it. So, the facts do exist that when they took the x-ray, they found that something was there. But I am going to attack that fact that negative fact by renewing my mind with the word of God and establish new fact that that thing in my body is not meant to be there. Whilst I establish new facts, it produces in me something. But in life, just as we said when we started singing yesterday, we had to keep going on until we crescendoed. Am I right? So there has to be a discipline by staying on course, establishing new facts, holding on to that new fact until you see the word of God change. It means that facts can change. This is not rock science. Facts can change. There was a time certain people of certain color could not rule this country, but now they have. Has that fact not changed? Some of you, when you were born, look into your life and you realize that you were going nowhere. Today, what happened? There was a relocation. The relocation has changed you. So are the facts the same? This is why the child of God need to renew your mind and tell yourself the facts are facts. They are real. I see it, but they are subject to change. Let me say this. Please write it down. Facts speak. Facts, they speak. How many of you remember in the book of Mark chapter 9, Jesus comes to the fig tree. You all remember that fig tree? Jesus wanted something from it. Now, if you read other versions, you don't see it well. But when you read it, King James, he said, and Jesus answered and said unto it, but the tree does not have a mouth. Why? Because the tree was telling Jesus, you can't have a fruit. And Jesus says, no, I heard it. I will not be denied. I will have a fruit. And if I cannot have a fruit from you, then you are dead. Are you guys with me? Facts speak. Sometimes you hear the fact, cancer, it speaks death. But you can look at that negative fact. Establish a new fact by using the word of God. Renewing your mind until that fact changes. I call facts lying truth. Do you understand that? It is the kind of truth that lies for a season. If you will be able to stand up, it will lie no more. There are too many wimps in church these days. They fight for a season and then they give up. But this morning I'm here to stir up a people. You don't sound like it. I said this morning I'm here to stir up every promise you sense God made to you in 2023. It must happen before the year ends. It's time to release your faith for it. Amen and amen. That is the summary of all I'm about to teach. Is that okay? All right. Now let's look clearly at how we are going to do this. Number one, face the negative facts by attacking them with faith. Face the negative facts. Don't go tell people the doctors, based on the x-rays and the MRIs, it looks like I have a condition. Then you say, but we can't say it. When we say it, will come to pass. My friend, simply say, this is the condition I have, but I am going to change this negative fact into a new one and begin to use the word of God. And I'll show you. I'll show you how to do it. Amen. Now, I'm teaching you this because it's not book. There's a promise the Lord gave me when I started this ministry. And every day I saw people laugh and they would say things. And I said, Lord, let your will come to pass. Because I know over time the negative facts will change. Because I'm establishing new facts. Where? Here. And speak them until it comes to. So those who laugh, you don't mean a thing to me. Him, he matters. You have to do the same. I said, you have to do the same. When you see those kids taking up friends and you are telling them and they are not listening, you wake up every morning. I see this fact. but it's about to change. It's about to what? Change. Don't just run around. You, the way you are acting, you are just like your father. You are still establishing a new fact, but is that the fact you want? You must establish the right fact. So we face negative facts with what? We face negative facts with? With faith. With faith. We attack them with faith. You must face the fact that you are sick in your body. You must face the fact that you are worried and anxious. You must face the fact that you are emotionally unstable and begin to make a declaration that this is about to change. Face the fact. The Bible says, and Abraham faced the fact that his body was dead and that Sarah's womb was also dead. He faced the fact, but not weakening in faith. Why? Because the fact intimidates. Write that down. The facts what? Intimidate. The facts intimidate. It can tell you, you are done. Have you ever heard the news and then the only thing you hear in your ears after that what is not the news, but what the news is saying? Right? Maybe somebody said, oh, so-and-so said this about you. But whatever they said does not ring in your ears. It is what whatever they said says. Because that thing has a mouth. It speaks. And negative facts, they intimidate. If you went to the doctor right now and he gave you a bad news of saying you have this, and chances are this is terminal, you live with it, it sends a message. Oh, my life is over. It speaks. But anytime anything like that begin to intimidate you, you look at it right in the face that you knock on the wrong door. Instead of you going to say, let me go find out how people who do this, who have this condition, then you do Google. Google himself has problems. Because this would change the facts. It was a fact that blind Bartimaeus was blind, but when Jesus stepped on the scene, he saw. It was a fact that the woman with the issue of blood had had that blood issue for 12 years, but Jesus stepped on the scene and it changed. It was a fact. It was a fact. There are many facts in my life, but today they are all not there. And I believe there are facts in your life that have begun to change. Don't let the other ones intimidate you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You see, you need to be like David. David says, I saw a lion and there was a bear. I kill him. Goliath, I put you also in the same category of a lion. And you are a human being. You are a giant. You've killed many. But you belong to this same category. David was saying similar factors. And based on the similar factors, Goliath, you are the same thing. Since these ones, I kill them, I'm going to kill you too. And there comes a moment where you look at the negative fact and tell yourself, this is about to change. I can use psychology to show you, but I'm not going to let psychologists confirm the word, because your life is the confirmation. My testimony is the confirmation. Your life is the confirmation. The things we do would tell us that every negative fact can change. It's a good place to clap and give the Lord praise. It shall come to. What did the scripture say shall come to pass? Meaning nothing is permanent. Some things you see them today, they will be there no more. What did God tell Moses and the people? He says, the Egyptians you see today, that is a fact. They were intimidating. They were coming after them to destroy them. But he says, the Egyptians you see today, may that Egyptian, proverbial Egyptian, that you see in your life today, they will not be there tomorrow. Time to change the facts.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.